Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Somehow the vital connection is made, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Football Ramble! Manchester City are running away with it, and Europa League is back. It's Thursday 18th, the fair by Marcus Speller.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Vidushina Hantaraja.
Welcome, one and all. And we start by saying happy birthday to Roberto Baggio.
Yes.
Happy birthday to him, Vish. We only talk about birthdays when it's the actual day.
I totally agree with that. I'm totally on board with that. It'd be Andy, weird to celebrate the day after someone's birthday.
Andy, is today your birthday? No, we're not going to say happy birthday to you. Today's not my birthday. So happy birthday to me. Vish, is today your birthday?
It isn't, no.
No, so we won't say happy birthday to you. And if you did want to say happy birthday to Vish this year, you've missed out because it was yesterday. So, unlucks. But the good news is he'll have another one next year. So, all aboard that train.
You say that. I have been looking at my lockdown habits, and it's 36 is a bit of a risk. I'd say right now.
Dear. Dark start to the ramble, everybody. Celebrating the life of Roberto Baggio, though. He's still with us, don't worry. But he gave us some great moments, much like yourself, Vish, has contributed to sport incredibly. And
given that we're trying to steer away from dark moments, Marcus, this is probably not the best time to mention that Baggio's Magical Kicks is being taken offline, isn't it, soon?
No! Oh, why?
No, that is...
So, like, everyone needs to get involved and play it before it disappears.
Oh, and I thought you were going to say because the government are worried to try and kickstart the economy. Everyone's hooked on it. No one's working. No one's wanting to go back to work.
I tell you what, the cancel culture is getting ridiculous.
It is.
Baggio's kicks have been taken off.
I know. Yeah. Well, they are. I mean, of course, if you're unfamiliar with this, then what on earth have you been doing all your lives? But for those who are familiar, whenever you won a cup, which I think you could get through hitting the post a lot of times, you used to get points for scoring goals and hitting the crossbar or the post, you would win passion cups. And I suppose in this day and age, Vish, a passion cup does sound a little bit too naughty.
Yeah, but people have got support bubbles. They're probably doing all sorts in cups.
Right. Let's talk about the Premier League. Everton lost at home to Manchester City. Anyway, let's move on from that sordid chat. Ancelotti said it was hard, almost impossible. Is that the kind of thing you want to hear from the band? Basically, those lot are much better than us. To be honest, we were lucky to get one.
I quite enjoyed the fact that he talked about that there's no point talking about drop points. They don't count as drop points because it was Manchester City. I don't think that's an unreasonable way to look at things. I think there are a time to tell. There's a time to tell your team to improve and about the things they could do better. And there's a time to move on. And for Everton, the title's never their aim. Top four could be their aim. I don't think they'll make it, but they've every reason to shoot for it in this season. And I guess we've probably mentioned this at some point before, but the fact is, I don't think the current environment does too much overanalysis. Goodbye, chaps. It's been a lovely show.
Andy Russell, ladies and gentlemen.
Like dwelling on something is absolutely pointless. You know, they've got Liverpool on Saturday. What a great way to get it out of their systems.
Yeah, playing another almost impossible team. Although at the moment, Vish, you know, quite possibly. What do you think of the idea of a title race now, Vish? We were all quite happy a few months ago, thinking, oh, it's all over the place, isn't it? Oh, we don't know. And now City are 10 points clear.
Yeah, I was trying to think. You know, it isn't quite a race. I think people have stopped running, haven't they? Can you down tools in a 100-meter sprint or a marathon? Like, this is that, you know, everyone's...
I don't know about a 100-meter sprint. That would be quite... I've got 50 metres and I thought, bollocks to this.
Well,
if he's going to
do that, then I might as well sack it off here, yeah.
We had a school steeplechase, and when you had to run out of the... I guess out of the fields in our school and go round into the streets and do a lap of the local area, sort of a lap of the block, and people who live locally used to like go home for like a cup of tea or like a glass of fizzy pop,
or go
to the petrol station for some crisps or whatever. Is that what we're promoting here?
That's all that's going to happen. You get your packet of crisps during a marathon, you're just going to get a stitch.
Well, yeah, if you do run the rest of all of it, as opposed to just ducking out a lap.
You little liars.
I didn't do it. We used to do a run for football training, which was across Hammersmith Bridge and then down and across a few other bridges as well. I think Barnes Bridge.
That's in West London.
West London, sorry. But there were loads of little nooks where you could just like duck in. And our teacher realised this and so would follow us kind of 10 minutes after we left. And he found one lad just sat in the pub garden having a pint. We were 16. And we'd done it so much that he thought, yeah, I reckon if I took my wallet with me, I could duck in and have a swift one.
Was his dad the landlord?
I don't know. It was a different time. We could get away with that. We used to go to the pub at Friday lunchtimes as well.
Lovely pubs down by Hammersmith Bridge for those who know the area. Of course, you couldn't run across Hammersmith Bridge at the moment. It's shut.
Well, yeah.
Sign the petition, ladies and gentlemen. Sign the petition. In arbitrary stats news, Manchester City have become the first side in top flight history to win their first 10 games of the calendar year. I love it when a new stat can come out. It's, hang on, it's calendar year, not the season. You know, that kind of thing. You often get, you know, the first team to win their first 10 games since the 17th of October or something like that. So that's quite pleasing, I think. Pep has said to his players, whatever you do, don't look at the calendar. Because presumably there's a big monster on there, Vish.
Probably good lockdown advice, isn't it?
So
you're not ticking away the days.
Well, he said it's better you don't see the schedule, otherwise you get depressed.
Well, do you not think that factors into Andy's point about these games coming so quickly? There's like, you know, like Andy's an NBA fan and basketball fans will tell you that there are so many games in the schedule that it is actually quite hard to get too down in yourself unless you're going through... you know, a run of successive losses that hint at like some deep, deep problem. And Everton, you know, I feel like we've spoken a lot about Everton in the last 2 weeks because they've won games, lost games. And we're jumping back and forth and be like, ooh, could it be? And probably not. Yeah. And so, you know, like they might go and turn over Liverpool on the weekend, at which point we think, well, they could finish above Liverpool this season in the league.
But I reckon, though, with someone like Everton, you often hear this from so many different... We just lack consistency. Just we need a bit of consistency. Yeah, the team who wins the league finds the consistency. Do you know what I mean? Like everybody... Yeah.
100%. When you boil it down, it's like, God, if we just, if we won every single game, we'd be fine, wouldn't we? We'd be totally fine.
I mean, obviously, you've got quality in your sides. They're professional footballers, you know. But the thing is, it's struggling to recreate it every week and so on. But Andy, what do you think of, you know, not looking at the schedule? I mean, I think Manchester City, 10 points clear. They can just kick back now, can't they? Easy peasy.
Also, I think if you do look ahead at the calendar, yeah, you would see that you've got a lovely little trip to Budapest next week. And nice. I know in the German media, before Leipzig made the trip out to play Liverpool this week, they were saying, especially after the sale of Deo Upamecano, it'd be quite nice for Julian Nagelsmann to get away and, you know, get away from the everyday routine and not think about all that sort of stuff. I thought, well, that is one way of selling it. The other way of selling it is you're going 800 kilometres one way to play a home game. But I guess the Manchester City players could get tips from Liverpool, couldn't they, on how to best enjoy Budapest?
Well, I think that'll definitely be the case. I'm sure they share a lot. Fish, do you think that Pep Guardiola is falling in love with Bernardo Silva? After the game, he said, and he may or may not have said it in this tone, "What a player. Everything he does incredibly well. What he did in that second year was unstoppable, and now he's back. He's a lovely person. And as a manager, you dream about having players like Bernardo. His mum and dad must be so proud of the son that they have."
I mean, that is lovely. You could have done it in another voice and it could have sounded very sordid. But,
I thought to myself, we call Pep a football pervert enough. The last thing he wants is for me to go, "Whoa."
Yeah. The last thing we care for is evidence. Bernardo Silva, he's from the Solly March school of saying the full name, isn't he? And you can kind of understand it, obviously, with David before him. But I thought it was pretty cool watching that three of Sterling, Mahrez and Silva, because they all, you know, they all do those things of they're able to drop deep, they can breeze past the player, they can hang wide and affect play there, or they can get on the end of chances. And they all take it in turns, because you think if you have an appetite to do any of those things, you have to rely on the fact that the other two players don't want to do those things. Otherwise, you might end up kind of treading on their toes. And I suppose it's a feat of, I suppose, of tactics, really, isn't it? That they're able to seemingly stretch play so much and at the same time can come together and play within 5 yards of each other. Terrifying, of course, and there's a good reason that they're 10 points ahead at the moment. But, yeah, no, he's really come into his own. Obviously, we've talked about his pretty watchful start, certainly how watchful Guardiola was with him. But, yeah, I think it's about time that he's been given the, you know, top boy job, yeah.
There's a lot of educated left feet in there, aren't there?
Yeah, there is, like expert people from the WWE.
Yeah. if you're going back a week or two, and that is how quickly things turn over at the moment, everyone was talking about that with Barcelona, with Messi surrounded by Griezmann and Francisco Trincao, who's just come into the team and all the rest of it. Now, having seen that last night, I think you're kind of looking at that and thinking, you know, Barcelona players, when they're training, are they kind of like kids in the playground where Messi's going, "I'm Bernardo, no, I'm Phil Foden."
But I don't know why you've triggered this, but when you're saying like players about talking about other players, do you remember when David Beckham signed for Real Madrid, obviously, that time?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he joined that squad and it was full of the Galacticos were crying out. There was a Dan Figo, Roberto Carlos, Raul was there. Incredible side. And there was someone had drawn this cartoon in one of the papers of all of these players, Ronaldo and Zidane and so on, gathering around David Beckham going, "Oi, what's Phil Neville like?" Oh dear, what a wonderful memory. Well, Phil Neville wasn't playing in the centre of the pitch for Everton last night, which was a shame, but poor old Decore ran ragged. Apparently he's got an aggregate score of 37 against 3-4 against Manchester City during his time at Watford.
That's not all his fault.
Playing for Watford will do that for you. Against Manchester City.
Yeah, that's one of those really unfair stats which I just thought, let's chuck it in.
I thought they started quite well.
They didn't
Everton.
Do too badly.
I thought they decided to like sit inside, you know, the the middle bit between City's defence and midfield. Mm-hmm. And I thought they clogged it up quite well. But yeah. But I suppose if you ever go into a situation thinking, right, how can we clog this system up? Mm. You're going to come undone, aren't you? And, you know, it was the thing with City, and I suppose it's specifically with Edison because it's more pronounced with Edison, but it doesn't matter how many times they mess up that pass out of defence. They still try it because they just know, well, this is just a value play for us now. And then, you know, Edison had a sneaky little turn against them. I think it was Richarlison closing him down, isn't it? Which felt a bit like the goalkeeper equivalent of a Panenka, because at that time it seemed that there was a lot of pressure around there, and he went, no, it's fine.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. With Manchester City looking this good, Andy, it doesn't matter. You have to be on it for all of the minutes of the match and have a bit of luck going your way. Because, I mean, Ancelotti, to quote him again on Manchester City's goals, he just said, nothing to do, nothing to say. You know, you've just got to hold your hands up sometimes. Whereas when Mahrez curled in that lovely one, Ali McCoist on comms just went, holy smokes, which is quite pleasing.
Do the voice.
Yeah. Holy smokes. Well, holy smokes though, John. Yeah, very, very enjoyable indeed. I mentioned earlier, as we have done on this show a number of times, that Pep is a tactical football pervert. I need to put football in that sentence because a tactical pervert is something a little bit different. And perhaps he's rearing more football perverts as well, because apparently Zinchenko has a big folder of notes about Guardiola's training sessions. His wife, Vlada, said he outlines changes in tactics, moments during trainings and training sessions, innovations. We have a big notebook at home, a big folder where he writes everything down. And she blamed Pep for his tactical tinkering when they went out to Lyon in the Champions League last year. I mean, she is right, but you've got to be careful having a go at the manager. Zinchenko joked that Pep was getting old during his 50th birthday last month, to which Pep apparently replied, Alex, the most important thing for me is to be liked by your wife and all will be okay. Oh, and he's on to him.
So does he mean the most important thing is for him, Pep Guardiola, to be liked by Zinchenko's wife, or the most important thing is for Zinchenko to be liked by Zinchenko's wife?
Yeah, no. I think Pep wants to be liked by his wife, because he's a tactical football pervert.
What I find remarkable is that Zinchenko is a young man who's writing things down rather than using an app, because we know players like to absorb their own performances in video clips and apps and all the rest of it. But pen and paper, that's so retro. I love it.
Bloody love that. Bloody love that. Elsewhere in the Premier League last night, Burnley drew 1-1 at home with Fulham. It wasn't a classic game, Vish. I think we can all agree on that. Interesting goal from Fulham, though. It was a rebound off Aina's stomach, followed by a sort of a slice clearance, and it managed to end up in the back of the net. A fortuitous one.
Did you see Robbie Brady's reaction when he...
He couldn't believe it.
But he tried to appeal for something and he realised he was appealing for his own nonsense. He was like, surely at this level, that can't be allowed. Just on an aesthetic level. We should score if you want, but we should do that again because other people are going to see this.
This is on TV,
for God's sakes.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, it was very strange. I thought, again, like... I want to throw this back. I want to throw this back at you because it's easy for me to pontificate about what it would be like for a Fulham fan to consistently watch them playing so well and be in a situation to kill off games and then just give it away. But I suppose there's only one or two ways this is eventually going to go. They're either going to stop doing that or they're just going to keep doing it. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, do you have a fear that it's just going to be back and forth like that and that there won't be any remedy? And are you accepting of that?
I've got my eyes on the prize, Vish, which is me and Hugh Grant in that swimming pool on top of the stadium. I know what you mean. I think recently with Fulham, I think Parker, you can see him going through the motions. They started the season incredibly badly, conceding goals left, right and centre. He tightened up the defence. And then they were drawing a lot of games. They went through that spell that they weren't conceding many, they weren't losing many, they're drawing a lot. And you think, okay, picking up points, the odd point here and there, that's good. You know, you can lose a game, say, I don't know, like by the odd goal to Manchester United, for example, and you think, okay, that it's a shame, but you know they're a better side, and Pogba pulls out a piece of quality like that, which Fulham probably don't really have. So as the season's going, you think, okay, we're still picking up points though in the forms of draws, and then you look at the table and you think, this is just not going to be enough.
Mm.
Fulham can do that, but it will simply not be enough. So Parker thinks, okay, let's put Mitrovic back in the side, or start him at least, and see if we can change that. Well, they draw 2-2 against West Brom when they should have been 2-0 up at half time, and that would have been interesting. And then the game after that, I forget which it was. It again ended up being a draw, and it wasn't great. And I think. And I think he thought to himself, that hasn't quite right. What are we going to do? Getting Maja in, and obviously the game against Everton was great. And I thought to myself, he seems to be progressing bit by bit, tightening up the defence, trying to go for attack, and just very slightly trying to sort of turn the screw. And against Everton, that showed. Whereas in this game, I know what you mean. It did feel a bit like, yeah, they're playing against a side who perhaps were, I don't say there for the taking, but I mean, they're playing Sheffield United on Saturday, and they need to win that. Really, you've got to.
Do you not think, Marcus? I mean, Burnley, despite having personnel issues, they created a lot of chances, especially for Burnley in the first half. Fulham scored quite a fortuitous goal to take a lead, and it is Burnley away. I think it's still a point. You're still within a couple of wins of Newcastle. I think I agree. Those next two games against Sheffield United, and then they're away to Palace, who always struggle a bit at home.
Uh-huh.
Those are absolutely huge.
Uh-huh.
But the fact is, Roy the Boy could tell you, you don't make your real run until like a month before the end of the season.
Yeah,
let's not go too early.
Let's not go too early. Yeah, I mean, Parker always talks about the team's confidence and their collective belief, and he certainly talks a good game in the post match. I know what you mean, though, Fish. I think it would be a shame for Fulham if this kind of a bit like Everton, but at the wrong end of the table. Are they going to do? They're showing a bit of quality. They've shown a little bit of something. They've played quite well. They've defended much better, and then it just sort of peters out, where it's just quite not enough. And you think, should he have fully let the handbrake off? And as you say, Andy, maybe he will when it comes to the crunch. But of course, when Fulham will take the handbrake off fully, then they're open at the back, and that has been quite disastrous. But in terms of Burnley, Dyche himself said, I remember many moons ago, Ian Holloway said we had a strong jaw, and I think he's right.
I think now, Dyche is quite a strong jaw, doesn't he?
Yeah, were the two of them having a scrap in a pub?
Yeah.
Oh dear. Did you see though going on Luke's sort of investigation? I think Luke's come to his conclusion about Sean Dyche, but I think as the Football Ramble, we've sort of opened the investigation on him as a man. And in a recent interview, Lee Grant revealed how Sean Dyche axed toxic players from the dressing room when he first arrived at Burnley by giving all the squad a piece of paper and asking them to write down the number of players they thought were snakes. Oh, I love this. This is like, again, like the reverse Brendan Rodgers. Remember with the letter with Brendan Rodgers, you know? Apparently, Dyche then calculated the average, I love that, and announced there were two snakes in the dressing room, who he then apparently wasted no time in weeding out.
This is proper Burn the Witch stuff, isn't it?
Oh, it's amazing. Like, he says there's one, he says there's six, he says there's three. All right, there's probably about two of them. That's fine. And let's get the pitchforks out.
This actually happens quite regularly. Not necessarily that method, but I've got a mate of mine who works for a championship club that I won't name. And they, about 3 or 4 years ago, went through a period of, I think they went through three managers in the space of 2 years, one of them being a caretaker.
Well, you're dropping big clues there.
Yeah, well, I mean, but like, you know, it's a championship, isn't it? So it could be like one of 10 teams.
Do they play in red?
but it was his first time kind of in that kind of situation. And he said what was fascinating was how quickly the players turn against the manager, but also when a new manager comes in and they pick players who haven't necessarily played much under the previous manager, those players then become his allies. And it got to a stage where he noticed that it was just moving back and forth those two groups, because obviously you'll have some people who are always going to play. But he said it was really interesting watching that change in dynamic and just seeing how opportunistic and flaky the players were, because ultimately they just want to play. They don't really give a shit about the person involved.
Yeah.
And so I suppose Daesh is coming into that situation thinking, right, if I want to know that, you know, the previous guy got burned by someone and I want to know who the people that burned him, because they've every chance they'll burn me.
That is interesting. I mean, you think about some of the questions and that Anthony Rudiger's been asked about Lampard and some of his responses. You know, it does play into that. But of course, you know, look at the likes of Alonso in the Chelsea side. He's now playing, whereas he wasn't under Lampard. So of course he wants the new manager to come and impress him. I mean, we do forget they're human beings. But yes, yeah. I can imagine that everybody's got, especially nowadays with players coming and going as freely as they do with transfers, despite there being, you know, transfer windows. It's not like it was in years gone by when you could go pretty much any time during the season. But ultimately, Andy, all players and everybody have got their self-interests at heart. Obviously, yes, you'd like to think they have the interest of the club. I mean, I suppose the better they do, better it is for the club.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think it's also a fallacy to say you can't be a mercenary and totally committed at the same time, which is sometimes overlooked. I mean, we all want to believe that our players are totally into the club and would put the club above anything else. But like, realistically, why would they? That is a child's way of looking at things. It's like thinking your favourite band all live in a house together.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
don't ruin that.
They were lip syncing. I mean, it's essentially, though, I mean, we should say that Vish is only using the Football Ramble to further his music career. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go for a quick break.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Stakhanov's brand new show, My Seven Wonders, with Clive Anderson, is available to listen to now. Clive will be quizzing some of the world's most interesting celebrities, including Griff Rhys-Jones and Shappi Khorsandi, about their own personal Seven Wonders of the World. Join Clive and his first guest, Dara O'Brien. Dara talks to Clive about his love for the Irish sport hurling and some of the extra benefits that come with owning a hurley stick.
it's just pleasant to have a big stick in the house every so often. For home security, it's always nice to know that I have an arsenal if I need it.
Oh, bear that in mind if I'm tempted to burgle your house in the middle of the night.
Just do it. Honestly, that's how I stand. I stand naked with my Irish testicles dangling, challenging people.
They discuss finding humour in quantum physics.
It's like saying, is the cat dead or not? Would someone just open the box?
And discovering new passions during lockdown.
Lockdown ran a schism, essentially, between the young comics who immediately went, I must learn new skills. I must learn video editing at TikTok. And I must find new ways to bring back comedy to people. And the older comics went, yeah, retirement's it'll be all right, actually. Sit in the garden. Turns out, you know, it's okay.
It's not too bad.
Search My Seven Wonders with Clive Anderson on your favourite podcast player to hear the first episode now.
My Seven Wonders with Clive Anderson is a Stakhanov production.
Five in the wall, and it looks like a skirt to boot. Messi goes through!
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. It's now time for emails.
Just email show at footballramble.com. Right now, so Peter, Vince, Kane, Jules, Jim, or Andy, Luke, all my kids can read it out. Well done.
Emails, emails, emails. And I've got one from Ole Gustafsson, who's got in touch about some unique sledging. I'm always getting the cricket ones, aren't I? For the last number of years, I've played in my local South Stockholm league.
I thought, to be honest with you, when you said his name, I thought he sounds Scandinavian. When you thought said sledging, I thought going down a hill very fast on a piece of wood, essentially. But anyway. Read on, sir.
I will do. One weekend, we scouted our next opposition and noticed they had a pacey English striker who was involved in a lot of what you might call fisticuffs. He was identified as a potential threat and nicknamed Lang Vardy, Tall Vardy, as we are big fans of the Premier League here, and he shared a similar chin.
is it the strong jaw or the strong chin that Sean Dyche and Burnley have?
He's got a very Fagan chin, does Vardy,
yeah,
doesn't he?
Yeah, he does, yeah.
Next week comes and we line up to play against this team, but Vardy starts on the bench. We quickly go three goals up and then we spot him drinking a whole can of Red Bull and demanding to be subbed on.
When Skittles in vodka, that's Vardy.
When he came on, I was unfortunately the one to mark him on the wing. He kept saying completely random, out-of-context Swedish words and phrases to me and a few of my other teammates. When I had the ball and was running at him, he stood up straight, pointed behind me and yelled, Bubbelvatten, which means sparkling water or fizzy water. And as this confused me so much, he managed to tackle me and run away with the ball. After my teammate scored, Lang Vardy was jogging back with him to the halfway line and patted on the back, saying in Swedish, lay an egg. And I am also Swedish. I also love paperwork and milk. Halftime comes and we begin to share stories about what this maverick had been saying to us. Our captain in midfield powerhouse, Hjalmar, who is a proud Swedish Viking and part-time bodybuilder, ooh, didn't see the funny side, got very angry and told us he would deal with it. Oh, God. Only a few minutes after the second half began, Hjalmar stamped on Lang Vardy's ankle right in front of the referee, who did nothing. When play eventually stopped, Lang Vardy got up and tried to start a fight with Hjalmar whilst hopping on one leg. He sat on the touchline for the rest of the game, booing every time Hjalmar got the ball.
Damn right.
Thank you, whoever you are, Lang Vardy, for showing the humour, pettiness, bravery and general insanity I now expect of English people every time I meet one. I mean, I love that. There's nothing like talking absolute garbage. Like, obviously, I'd say that sledging is a bit of a cricket thing. A popular, nonsensical but very effective sledge is if you're in the slips behind a batsman and you ask the batsman, do you breathe in or out when you play a shot?
And it's very good.
It's just right in their head and very effective, yeah.
Uh-huh. Love that. Excellent stuff, gentlemen. Well, you can always get your stories into us, show@footballramble.com, if you have any about Long Vardy, Short Vardy, or any other Vardy. Gentlemen, there was Champions League last night, of course. Andy, you must be gutted. Your beloved Sevilla lost at home 3-2 to Dortmund. They're still in the tie, though, but you'd probably say hanging by a thread. Get them in the Europa League where they belong, for crying out loud.
Do you reckon they should make it a round later, admission to the Europa League this year, just for Sevilla?
I know. Sevilla, they try and do this, bless them. They try and punch above their weight, and then you just think, no.
That was actually the best, the meme that everyone's been doing of Piqué holding onto Mbappé's shirt.
Yeah.
It was Mbappé as Sevilla and Piqué as the Europa League.
Yeah. I love that. In interesting news, though, Porto beat Juventus 2-1. Andy Brassel. Hey.
Yeah. And I'm surprised, but Juventus are really quite unpredictable this season. And even when they've been getting good results in this calendar year, they've not been playing absolutely fantastically. And of course, it's not every week you come up against the fireball that is Sergio Conceição as well.
Yeah. Well, speaking of fireballs, Pepe made his 100th Champions League appearance. He turns 38 this month. Which is great. He was up to his usual antics, of course. That's what we like to see. He told a nice anecdote about George Costa, who was a former centre-half, of course, for Porto as well, who was quite the player. He said in one of the locker room toilets, there was a photo of him and no one but him could use that toilet. What on earth did he do in there? That's what I want to know.
I don't want to be too disparaging, but I remember George Costa by the end of his career, and to look at him, I don't think you'd want to be using the bathroom after him.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think you it's like one of those ones where, you know, you would have a picture of George Costa above the fireplace to keep the kids away from that sort of thing, you know. Oh, dearie me. Speaking of Juventus, one of their former players, Luigi Sarto, has been arrested for allegedly growing marijuana in a greenhouse. This was an Italian newspaper reported this. A former Juventus, Inter, Roma and Parma defender. You don't hear this too much from former footballers. He did win the UEFA Cup 3 times and had 2 caps for Italy, Andy, so he wasn't a bad player. But post-retirement, this is not what we expect or hope for with footballers, or anybody, for that matter.
No, although reconnecting with nature, I think, after the intensity of top-level football is an opportunity that maybe we should embrace the idea of.
Do you think
very good for chronic pain? Just saying, you a lot of chronic pain after, you know, footballer. Probably a lot of time to unwind and relax.
Vish, do you think that it was Sean Dyche working for that Italian newspaper and he weeded him out?
You know what? I reckon he could do with a smoke every once in a while, Dyche. To be fair, he's gone to America. He's been to Colorado. It's legalized in Colorado. We don't know that he hasn't partaken in recent years.
Yeah, what would it do to his voice, though? His lovely, smooth
voice.
That's
a good point. Oh, maybe it'll go full circle. It'll go so gravelly that he'll start hitting the high notes again.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe. I worry that he would sound like Tricky's vocals on Premillennial Tension.
But I take your word for it, Andy. Take your word for it.
It's on Spotify. How do you know?
It's on Spotify. Therefore, I should have heard it.
Marcus has still got Oasis cassettes, though, hasn't he?
Cassettes?
Yeah.
Don't you start. You were the one that gave them to me. With tears in your eyes as you handed them over in the middle of the night. What about this, chaps? The Bundesliga CEO Christian Seifert, forgive pronunciation, says that some of the clubs pushing for a European Super League are poorly managed, cash-burning machines.
I ain't got no idea what team he's talking about, what club he's talking about.
No, I think we know, Andy. He's having a little dig at someone.
Could be anyone.
Yeah. Are you talking about that on OTC this week, or are you not bothering?
We are going through the detail in the Champions League this week, obviously, talking about Kylian Mbappe and what this means for who the leading player in the world is. Now, we're talking about Marco Rosa arriving at Dortmund, and we're in the company of the great Miguel Delaney this week.
Oh, delightful. That's on Football Ramble Presents, everybody, so get yourselves over there. Right, let's go briefly to the Championship, because Thierry Henry might well be the new Bournemouth manager. Now, at the time of recording, this hasn't been announced, but it's looking very, very
likely.
So
it will be in half an hour.
So by the time the show hits your ears, it'll be John Terry. But Henri, of course, again, at the time of recording, is currently at Montreal, probably shouting at that poor lad Mason, who, you know, couldn't play the pass or whatever. But apparently he's open to the role. He did say once upon a time, I do dream of managing Arsenal, but I also dream of running up the court and doing a slam dunk. It doesn't mean it'll happen.
How tall is Henri?
Tall enough to be able to slam dunk.
Yeah, not tall enough to dunk, I would suggest.
Is he not?
And okay. Of course, he's very close friends with Tony Parker, who has never really dunked. So,
well, maybe he should become friends with Spud Webb, Andy. How about that for an idea?
Steph Curry can dunk, and Steph's 6'2"?
Yeah, but he normally doesn't because he's quite bad at it.
Yeah, but I think he did it in the All-Star game a couple of years ago, didn't he? Or maybe last year's one.
Yeah, he did.
So I'm surprised Henri would...
Yeah, he's probably 6'1", 6'2", something like that. Andy, the big question is he going to be using the same or making the same sartorial choices as he did when he was Monaco manager, which is something that you love to remind us of?
What, looking wonderful in the club leisure wear?
I thought, did he not have tracksuit bottoms and shirt and tie or something like that?
I think you confused him with Brian Robson when he signed for Middlesbrough.
I have.
No, you're quite right. That is true for the presentation. But that's great. It makes me think always ready.
Yeah. Well, Eddie Howe tended to be a tracksuit manager, obviously synonymous with that club, even though he hasn't been there for a little while now. So, I mean, it could happen, Vish. It could happen. I mean, despite being unbeaten since Jonathan Woodgate took charge as caretaker, the Cherries want to hire externally. They don't want to take on Woodgate. Does that surprise you?
Well, I suppose they've seen what he has to offer.
Yeah, I suppose impressed.
I suppose in that regard, it seems a bit off, doesn't it? But I quite like the clip of Henri when he was getting up from that press conference. I think it was at Monaco, where the young player he was with got up as well and didn't put a seat under the table. So Henri just pointed to him, pointed to the chair, and the kid.
Yeah.
So if only for manners alone, you know, it'd be a great signing as manager. Yeah.
I mean, the next step is to do that with a more senior player. So Jack Wilshere is coming for you.
They're getting the band back together, aren't they?
There you're talking. Yeah. Well, apparently Frank Lampard was approached for the job. I thought, come on, give Frank a moment, Vish, surely.
Well, his uncle only lives around the corner, doesn't he? So,
yeah, that's a point.
It would be the second job that Harry Redknapp's helped him get of the three jobs he's had so far, if he was to be in line with this, because Harry Redknapp had a word with Derby County to get Lampard on, didn't he? Yeah, so...
Harry Redknapp got you in on the ramble, though, so why are you complaining?
Well, yeah, he did. And bless him forever. I wouldn't have a bad word said about him, even though we had to re-record a Patriot episode because I did. You know, that's totally fine.
So. Oh, come on, that's enough of that.
Just a plug. Just a Patreon plug. That's what that is.
It's just a Patreon plug. Staying in the Championship the other night, did you see that Neil Warnock obviously wasn't happy with the assistant referee in their defeat to Huddersfield? It's just him, the busy bee on the line. I mean, he's grabbing all the attention with his Brill Cream and what have you.
What does he want? Does he want him like just in a sack covered in mud with, you know, like what? His own flesh for a flag. Like, does he want to anything he could have done would have been seen as being a busy bee.
But you know as well that when he thought about his hair, he's thinking, well, the only product I know, Bill Brill Cream, me. I mean, was he probably covered in Brute or something like that? Very, very enjoyable indeed. Gentlemen, the return of the Europa League is finally here. Andy, you love this tournament. We love this tournament. My goodness. Adnan Januzaj is involved. It's the Adnan Januzaj derby because Manchester United are playing Real Sociedad, of course. And Adnan Januzaj recently claimed that Louis van Gaal didn't show him enough love at Manchester United. Now, we have seen when van Gaal shows love, he has a very specific way of doing that, which involves his testicles. But apparently The Athletic reached out to Louis van Gaal for an interview for a piece on Januzaj. He emailed them back within 24 hours saying, I have absolutely no need to defend myself against so much injustice. The self-image of players leaves the wishes. My career as a coach and manager shows just how many young players could take their chances under my leadership. What a kind box, LVG.
I mean, the thing is, he has got a point. It was never young players he had the issue with.
Yeah.
Was it? It was just the older ones who... preferred not to have team talks while he exposed themselves to them.
Well, apparently, so he obviously had seen Januzaj's comments, because I don't think the people at The Athletic emailed him saying, oh, Januzaj's been slagging you off. Do you have a response to this? I just think that they said, oh, we'd like to interview around Januzaj. And he was like, sod off. Don't call me aggressive! You know,
some would argue, Marcus, that that is the cornerstone of responsible journalism, saying, so-and-so said this about you, what do you say back? That is how great quotes are born.
Yeah, that's true. That's very, very true. I mean, I love it. I love the fact that Van Gaal defends himself whenever there's any sort of hint of what he would see as rebellion against him. He just crushes it vish at the first sign of trouble.
I'm trying to picture how he's replied to that email, because he wouldn't have done it like lying in bed on his phone. He would have
fully
had
naked.
Yeah, but then he would. I reckon he's probably got a desk that overlooks, you know, that has an office with a window that overlooks the water, and he might still be naked, to be fair.
But does he not have, what was that story? He's got a holiday home in Portugal, and is it next door to Ronald Koeman, I think?
Isn't it next door to Dick Advocaat, or is that, am I imagining that?
It could be the big Dick. Mm. You might be right. It's certainly a former Netherlands manager or something. I think Dick Advocaat managed them for a bit. If he didn't, then, you know, up yours. Yes, you're right, though. Overlooking the Atlantic Ocean, perhaps.
Yeah, just like with the glasses, just on the quite low down on his nose, and he's just kind of squinting and looking down while replying to his email so angrily, yeah. I reckon he's gone through a few keyboards in his time, hasn't he?
I don't think he has a keyboard. I think he uses voice activation, so he just screams it down. But he hasn't found a computer that can keep up with him yet.
Imagine getting that in a WhatsApp voice note.
Amazing.
That would be fun. Yeah.
Yeah. If you read the message, it does sound like someone shouting rather than someone sort of typing out and taking their time to think, what should I say? I appreciate English is not his first language, but although he has a very good command of it. I love it.
It does read like that, yeah. You say that Ernest Hemingway, when you read him, it was like, because he was massively into boxing, it was like he was punching the keys. Maybe that's the same with Van Gaal. Maybe he's a Hemingway of email retorts.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Well, yeah, so it should be a good one between those two teams. Hopefully King Louis will be on hand for a comment after that one. Slavia Prague, gentlemen, have taken an unusual approach to mind games ahead of their clash with Leicester City today, with their reporter Jan Husek calling Kasper Schmeichel overweight on a club YouTube video, which was profiling their opponents. Get a load of that. He said that Schmeichel has problems with his healthy lifestyle and claims he wears a corset.
What?
What is going on here?
Didn't he also say Leicester was boring?
He might have done.
He slagged off the City as well.
Yeah.
Which,
well,
I
he
have
said
to
he
say,
said he
is home to the National Space Centre.
Exactly. Up yours, Jan. He said,
you can
get
in an actual rocket.
Well,
rocket that takes you away from Leicester.
Oh,
I'm going to be
on.
As far away as you can get from Leicester.
How dare you? He said that of the City of Leicester, if it wasn't for football, you probably wouldn't know much about it. That's a dig. Walker's crisps. It's a city where, personally, I wouldn't want to live. Apart from the cathedral, there really isn't much to do. So they've got something, Jan, a cathedral.
I've been for a night out in Leicester. It's pretty good. That's all I have to offer on that.
Oh, a night out with you, Vish, is always going to be pretty good, at least. Of course, Tottenham are in Europa League action. Moussa Sissoko, he's spoken out about his Tottenham future with what can only be described as a great deal of conviction, the kind of Louis van Gaal conviction that we like to see. I have had calls from various other clubs, but I will remain focused on Tottenham for now.
When Mourinho is your coach...
Take away those last two words, mate.
When Mourinho is your coach, you've got to keep your options open. I don't think that's unreasonable or unrealistic by any stretch.
Andy, I think Mourinho keeps your options open for you. I don't think you need to do that.
Yes, possibly. Possibly.
Yeah. Well, they're up against Wolfsburg, the Australian... I nearly did a Dumb and Dumber, the Austrian side. That'd be strange. It'd be like the Eurovision Song Contest. Let the Aussies into the Europa League. Get them in. So they're playing Newcastle Jets tonight in the Europa League.
Honestly, if you want to pump up the Europa League, get the A-League involved as well. I'm telling you, that is... I want more of that nonsense in my life, yeah.
Can you imagine that? They're going there, look, we do it in the Eurovision Song Contest. Why not for this as well?
It is funny how there's this kind of confusion. You have to say Wolfsburg with an E or Wolfsburg, the Austrian side to make it clear. Because, of course, they're not actually called Wolfsburg. They're called Waz Pellets. But you're not allowed to have a sponsorship name in UEFA club competition. So they're sponsored by Wood Pellet Company.
I was going to say, I wondered what Waz pellets were. Are they the sort of things you put in the toilet and You know, concentrate your aim. My goodness. Well, there we are. What a way to finish the show, Vish, that kind of chat. Oh, by the way, we've got a big announcement. Join us at 5 p.m. today for a live Q&A on our Patreon. Andy and myself will be joined by Jim Campbell. So get over to patreon.com/footballramble. 5 p.m. today. That is 5 p.m. Surrey time, okay? It's going to be a cracker. We warts and all. We live the life with the trousers down, don't we, Andy, on our live Q&As? Not literally, that would be problematic. but you can ask anything. We may not answer it, though. Yeah, so lovely old job. At tomorrow's show, this you're back on with myself and Luke. Look forward to that, my good man. So join us at 5 p.m. or tomorrow, or both would be ideal, of course. But thank you very much. Anyway, Andy Brassel.
Goodbye. Take care of yourselves.
Thank you, Vatush Nahandaraja.
Thank you.
Thank you, good people. We'll see you later.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.